Happy holidays, everyone. I thought I would celebrate the holidays by reading some success stories for you to get you in the holiday spirit and hopefully warm your hearts as we go through the holiday season and head into the new year.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I am your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Ho, ho, ho. I'm going to make like Santa Claus and bring you some heartwarming success stories from the Kansas Legal Services Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic. I am potentially starting an annual tradition this way, so I am going to start with the 2016 success stories and go through 2018. So there will be quite a few of these this year. There won't be quite so many on a regular basis from here on, but I hope that you are inspired by these stories. I hope that you see the opportunity and success of the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program. I think I am only able to do a portion of what some other clinics do, but I hope that even my small success that I'm able to bring gives some guidance to you and helps inspire you to do even greater things throughout 2019. So I'm going to begin with 2016 Kansas Legal Services Tax Clinic success stories. One client, she was 68 years old at the time and lived with her disabled adult son on a limited income. She owed over $77,000 of tax liability for over 7 years of tax debt. The IRS accepted her offer in compromise for $1, and she was able to move on with her life and was very happy. Client number two owed $1,429.38 to the IRS and Missouri Department of Revenue. After filing an amended return to reflect his insolvency due to being homeless in 2012, he now owed $368.26, so that reduced down $1,061.12. The client was currently in culinary school and planned to get a job working in a restaurant soon. Once that happened, he could pay off his tax debts. So I was inspired that he went from being homeless to being in culinary school and being productive and successful working in a restaurant, or that was his goal. So I thought that was inspirational right there. Client number three, he was working as a limousine driver and developed a hernia from lifting heavy luggage. During a period of not working, he used up his funds that he saved up for paying taxes to pay on his other bills. Depressed from his mounting bills, he attempted suicide. When going to the hospital checkups for his depression, he had abdominal pain. The hospital checked on him and found he had an abdominal aortic aneurysm. After preparing his taxes, he wanted to take action regarding his $3,200 tax debt for 2015. The tax clinic submitted an offer in compromise for $50 that the IRS accepted. Client number four, the client's father contacted us. The client, he was in medical school, but he did not leave his basement because of chronic fatigue syndrome and neuralgia. His student loan debt had been canceled. He would have cancellation of debt income of $115,830. That would have meant a rough estimate of $25,000 in tax liability. I provided documents to help him prepare his taxes so that his income could be excluded due to insolvency. Client number five came to Kansas Legal Services because the IRS was garnishing $242.40 monthly from his Social Security. He was 68 years old and a Vietnam veteran with health problems. We were first able to get him on a payment plan of $169 before we were able to get him on a $25 payment plan. We tried a $50 offer in compromise. The IRS counteroffer was $1,224 for his $46,000 tax debt, but the client could not afford that, so we got him back on the $25 payment plan. Client number six. The client was 82 years old. He and his wife received correspondence from the IRS stating they owed $6,538. They were so concerned, they drove from El Dorado to Kansas City to meet with me. So that's a 162-mile trip. But they were also visiting the wife's sister in the hospital in Kansas City. The tax clinic faxed the paperwork into the IRS to correct their assessment. After the IRS processed the paperwork, the client no longer owed any money. So they were grateful that that $6,538 tax debt had disappeared. Client number seven, this was mainly worked on by my predecessor in the tax clinic, and I thought she did a very good job. Lisa Garza, I thought she did a good job at writing up this description of the client situation. The client was liable for joint returns she signed at her husband's direction. She was a stay-at-home mom, and her husband operated a small business doing car repairs. She had nothing to do with his business, and he controlled all of the finances. Every year, he would have her sign the joint tax returns, but she did not understand how the taxes were calculated or the extent of her liability. The client does not read, write, speak, or understand the English language. She is a legal immigrant from El Salvador. The client did not discover her tax liability until she was cleaning out her husband's closet after he died. She had her friend explain the IRS notices she found and for the first time learned about the huge tax liabilities generated by her deceased husband's business. An innocent spouse application was submitted alleging spousal abuse. The application explained that her husband was physically violent early on in their marriage, but after 30 years he mellowed out, yet was still very controlling of the finances and her home life. The IRS requested proof of domestic violence, but since she never made any police reports or sustained injuries, we were able to obtain letters from those who knew the couple well. They all did a pretty good job at describing how very controlling her husband was while he was alive. They also helped explain why she would have no idea about the tax problems until after his death. The client was granted full relief under the Innocent Spouse Program for tax liability in excess of $133,000. Moving on to 2017, client number one was an elderly client who thought he had a lien on his house from the IRS. I confirmed he no longer owed the IRS. He was planning to get a reverse mortgage on his home to pay off the IRS, and that is no longer the case. Client number two, an elderly client had contacted a tax relief company for help regarding her 2002 tax debts. They scammed her out of that money, and she didn't do anything about the tax debts for years. When meeting with the Kansas Legal Services attorney at the Johnson County Help Center, she brought up these tax issues. The tax clinic checked with the IRS and the Kansas Department of Revenue. They each said that she no longer had 2002 tax debt. The debt had expired. The client was extremely grateful for that stress being gone. She had been waiting to file for Social Security for fear that it would be garnished due to the tax debt and has since started that process. Kansas Legal Services was also able to answer the client's questions about getting started with Social Security. Client number three, we were able to get the client into currently not collectible status. We amended the tax return to remove cancellation of debt income. She got her 2016 and other refund amounts returned to her over $10,000. Client number four, there were negotiations with the IRS for a tax court client that saved her $11,550 from a previous audit. It required extensive organization of documents necessary to negotiate this savings for the client. And this was a case that I was in negotiations with the IRS the Thursday before the calendar call for tax court. So on Monday, we had to tell the judge that we had settled the case. So it felt like it was coming down to the wire. Client number five was an innocent spouse client that the request for relief wound up providing her $34,716.57 in relief. Client number six, the taxpayer was audited for tax years 2013 and 14. One clinic attorney was able to prove that she could claim her son as a dependent. That was Lisa Garza. For her daughter, the IRS was not convinced. After petitioning the tax court and submitting extensive documents, the IRS agreed her daughter could also be claimed as a dependent in 2014. Refund for 2014 was sufficient to pay off her 2013 tax liability. For 2018, client number one, he was an immigrant from Africa that he owed for multiple tax years. First, we settled in tax court, and that removed $6,612.80 in liability. Then we submitted an offer in compromise for $450. That was accepted, and that removed $19,447.99. I then worked with the Kansas Department of Revenue. They call their settlement offers a petition for abatement, but they approved that settlement for they counteroffered a settlement for $865.06. So his estimated total liability removed was shy of $29,000. It was $28,742.79. Client number two was a client 7 years old with, I haven't seen any medical proof, but she seems to be exhibiting dementia and memory issues. She was concerned about her $150 payment plan with the IRS. She was having trouble making those payments, worrying about that. And so I was unable to get her financial information over the phone. I mailed paperwork to her, but she did not have anyone in her life who could assist her. I then called the IRS without the financial information, but explained the situation. And so I was able to get the IRS cancel her payment plan and have her placed into the currently not collectible status. And even then, recently, I had a call from her daughter explaining to her the situation that we need to convince her she doesn't have to make $150 payments to the IRS anymore and that she is in the currently not collectible status and what that situation entails. Client number three, she is raising her son, but the boy's father also claimed him as a dependent, even though he does not provide child support or have contact with the boy. The boy's father lives in another region of the United States. I don't remember which state, but I think it's in the South while we're in Kansas. She filed with the tax court for 2015, and the IRS settled, reducing her liability by $9,498. For 2016, we submitted tax documents. She kept getting requests for the IRS to have 90 more days to review, but we contacted the Taxpayer Advocate Service for assistance. They got in touch with Examination, who closed the case, and the client got a refund for $7,489.14. Client number four, this is actually a married couple that they are taking care of a 9-year-old daughter and their grandson, who is their foster child. We were able to get them their 2017 refund of $2,534.64. That was going to be a refund offset, but I was able to show hardship because of utility shutoffs and other situations that was no longer intercepted to pay on their tax debt. They also have a large medical debt. So we submitted a settlement offer in compromise of $10, and that relieved them of $33,617.74 in tax debt for the 2012 through 2015 tax years. And then client number five, I am going to recount from memory that she is a Spanish speaker, she understands some English, but she prefers to have a translator with her all the time. And she has claimed grandchildren from one daughter in 1 year, and then grandchildren from a different daughter in another tax year. And this is because of the shifting family situations on who is living with her and various family dynamics. So who she claimed as dependents changed each year. For the first tax year, she submitted her own documents and was able to get a partial allowance of dependents from the IRS. That part she had done on her own, but then I resubmitted, or I think I also helped her gather documents and submitted those to the IRS. Then they fully allowed her tax refund. Then for the second tax year, we had to go through tax court. We went through a lengthy period with appeals. They decided they could not settle. It went to council, and I believe they were sympathetic, but finally they settled. We were able to provide what documents we could, and in the process, she should receive a large refund because it had been frozen. You know, overall, I am seeing more cases of grandparents taking care of their grandchildren who have been audited. So I am trying to help out these various people who are taking on a greater responsibility, also receive fair treatment from the IRS for doing so. So overall, I hope that these various success stories from the Kansas Legal Services Tax Clinic have been inspirational to you. I did mention various dollar amounts that I hope that you can see that this means quite a bit of financial assistance and help for very poor or elderly individuals who would not have had this assistance without the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program. Please, if you are not working in one of those programs, I would ask you to volunteer in 2019. It greatly assists the programs. It helps us with funding by providing these efforts. So maybe this will help you with a New Year's resolution, but hopefully it inspires you and provides you something happy to think about for the holidays. For me at Tax Justice Warriors, I want to wish you a happy holiday. Whatever that you celebrate, have a happy, safe, and joyous New Year in 2019.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.